I guess it's time for Children's Church. Children's Church! Woo! What a beautiful song. Thank you, brother, for leading us in those songs, and thankful for that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm going to look at verses 9 through 18 today. We've got a lot on the plate this morning. Right after the message and our worship time, we're going to have a little time together celebrate the graduations of our high school graduates as well as our college graduates. And then we'll have a cookie reception as well. And then later on in the afternoon, if you're able or going or planning to go at Hatboro Church of Christ, they'll be having a Fifth Sunday Fellowship where I'll be speaking on this afternoon at the 3 o'clock service. So we got a lot to do, a little time to do it. So I'm gonna get right to it. Amen. Good. First of all, welcome to our visitors. We welcome you and we thank you for coming and visiting with us here at the Green Bank Church of Christ. If you're just visiting with us for the first time, could you just raise your hand? You don't have to do big speech or anything. Amen. 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 Welcome. 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 All right. All right. All right. Charlie raised his hand. Charlie, you've been here, please. But good to see you on to this morning. And we have some information on the way out, a packet of information that we'd love to be able to give to you as well on your way out about who we are. Well, we are on our second part of this series, When the Strong Get Tired. When the Strong Get Tired. And last week we saw Elijah under the broom tree. He was tired. He was not just physically tired, he was mentally, emotionally drained. He had that Mount Carmel experience that we looked at and talked about. He was able to show triumphantly that God, the God of Israel, is the true and the living God. They were able to demonstrate the God's power as he was able to consume this sacrifice on top of Mount Carmel, while the false prophets were calling on their false gods. Their false gods gave him that false power. Their false gods never came through, but the true God with the true power came and showed in an awesome way, and so much so that the people cried out, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." And then shortly right after that triumphant moment, we saw him running into the wilderness. And we saw him there on last week in the wilderness under that broom tree, miserable. And yet we saw how God dealt with him. God allowed him to sleep. God gave him some food to eat. God gave him a touch. God gave him his time to regroup and gave him a mission to come back and to meet with him at Horeb. And so we saw all of that on last week, but yet the story didn't stop. We're going to continue going forward because we recognize that Elijah moved. Elijah moved. Physically, he moved. He left that wilderness. He was moving toward the mountain where God was in Horeb. He moved locations. But even though he moved locations, the thing that went with him was himself, his mindset, his perspective. You know, sometimes we think if I get that next job, if I get that next person, if I move from the state, Delaware don't have any opportunities. You know how many people I heard, Delaware has no opportunities, and then they leave, and then a year later, Delaware, they back. Baby, come back? No. But sometimes we think if I get this new thing it's gonna be better. If I can just get there. But sometimes it's not the getting there, sometimes it's the getting in here. And that's what God had to deal with him. Meet me at verse 9. There he went into a cave and he spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him and said, What are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me also. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. And then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me also. And then the Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. And when you get there, anoint Hazael, king of over Aram, and also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king of, over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death anyone who escaped from the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escaped the sword of Jehu. And yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, and all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not yet kissed him. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this word. We ask that you might open our eyes to you and to your word. And we pray that we might be able to see what you need us to see, hear what we need to hear, and then give us the strength to do what we need to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? We saw on last week, we saw Elijah, you know, as he's now getting closer, coming to Horeb. And we saw that God's care over Elijah. One of the things we see about God, and we kind of emphasize or really emphasize this on last week, is God understands that we go through these dips in life. God understands. He knows our frame, and he knows the challenges that we have in this life. Jesus knew it so well that he had to feel everything that we felt. Everything we feel, every sensation we've had, he had to go through each of them in order to identify with what we're going through. And so God identifies. He understands, you know, where we are. He created us, obviously, so he knows. And yet, as he's dealing with his servant, he's dealing with him not with how dare you be at this point. No, he deals with him with care, with concern. Yes, the mission is important. Yeah, we need to get back on mission, but he takes time to touch. He takes time to make sure that Elijah is built back up in order to go out and continue the arduous task that's at hand. You know, once again, one of the key takeaways from last week is that even when we're working for the Lord, it can get weary. It can be, there's a burden. The Bible tells us to carry one another's burdens. But the implication is a burden is going to weigh you down a little bit. A burden is going to make you a little more weary. We're all carrying different burdens and all of that. And so all of us, it gets a little heavy sometimes. And even for Elijah, God's prophet, it got heavy for him, so heavy that we see him in his isolation in the desert. And then once again, you see God's care for Elijah, the prophet. But God calls him to Horeb, to this place, this mountain. And listen to verse 9. When he went into the cave, he spent the night there, and the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I want you to just recognize something, that God was not asking Elijah for God's sake. God knew where Elijah was, mentally, physically, emotionally. God knows him, you know, every hair on his head and every hair that should have been on his head, God already knows. And so he wasn't asking him for his sake. So no, he's asking him so that Elisha can start to see and get a different perspective. And what got you into the pit? What allowed you to get into that cave? What allowed you to fall into the situation? What allowed you to get into the circumstance? Because in order for us to get past it, we've got to face it. We've got to look at it. You know, any type of recovery and all that, you've got to come to truth. You've got to come to terms with what really is. The more we put the mask on, the more you pretend it isn't, you know, the more and bury it, the more you will never get any healing out of it. And so the Lord is trying to bring that out of him. Why are you here? And one of the things we start seeing about Elijah is Elijah is very good at something that all of us are very good at: self-deception. Lying to yourself. Hello. And here's the thing about lying to ourselves. Sometimes we lie to ourselves so good, we start to believe our own lies. And it starts coming. It's like Peter when he was by that fire and he got to talking and stuff like that. And the lady, she identified, aren't you one of those Galileans? And she could identify how by how he talked. You know, there's a certain talk. There's a certain, you know, mannerisms and attitude and things that we have. God asked Elijah this question. What are you doing here? I'm bringing it back. Elijah has to get to this place where he recognizes and he realizes, you know, I got to look at my situation. I got to look at how did I get not just into the cave, because remember, the cave is an extension of this time in the wilderness. The cave is an extension of his time of isolation. The cave is this time, you know, where he's run away from God, run away from people, and is now, in a sense, marinating in his problems. Think about that for marinating in his problems. You take some meat and put it in some marinade, and it just soaks it in little by little by little, and it begins to, the flavor that's out there in the marinade begins to seep into that meat. And this is what happens in our lives. Depending upon what we allow ourselves to soak around, it begins to seep into us, and the longer we lay in it, the more it seeps, and the deeper it seeps, and it starts to season and change our whole perspective of life. And sometimes we get caught in the loop, you know, some in the negative self-talk, for instance. And sometimes we can get caught into the negative self-talk, and we can look at the glass half empty all the time, and we can look at circumstances around us and look pessimistic instead of optimistic, instead of overcoming things, because we've been laying in this and marinating in this for so long, it seeps into us and it changes our very nature. We're going to look at this in Elijah. What are you doing here, Elijah? Look at Elijah's response. Well, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They put your prophets to death with the sword. And I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me. Here's the thing. I said we were very good at deceiving ourselves, the self-deception. We're good at telling ourselves lies and believing these lies and all that. See, here's the thing about a good lie. Y'all want to learn how to lie good? I see some of y'all leaning in. Hold on a second. Nah, this ain't that type of class, y'all. No. but a good lie, It's got to sound feasible, right? I mean, it's got to have some elements of truth in it. So his lie has elements of truth. Yeah, there's persecution going on. Yeah, there are killings going on. Yeah, but it doesn't tell the whole truth. It doesn't tell the whole. It tells part of the story, but it doesn't tell the whole story. And what sometimes we like to believe is we've got the whole story already told, right? This is it. All right. And Elijah thinks, and he's talking, guess who he's talking to? God. God. Anyway, I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've torn down your altars. They put your prophets to death with the sword. All right. A lot of that's true. And I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill him. Look, everything stops with me. I'm preserving, you know, you got to preserve me, Lord. The buck stops here. You know, once I'm gone, it's over. You know, I know some preachers that believe that once they're gone, the church is over with. I know some elders that believe once they're gone, the church is going to crumble. I know some members, hello, that believe sometimes that once the church, no. We're going to talk about this in a second, but you see his pride. You see his ego. You see his him having this big head about himself and all of that. And look at the things that are happening in my life. Now, some of this stuff is rooted in fear. Fear. We talked about this on last week a little bit. Burning the candle on both ends. Eventually, at some time, you're going to wear down, right? God gives us rest. God gives us an opportunity to rest. He programmed it into everything. Look at the days of the week, right? God made it so that here's a model that you should have. Here's 6 days to work, and then on the seventh day, you what? You rest. And he gave that as a model. Why? So because he knows people. He knows we're trying to make a dollar. Any dollar we can make, whenever we can make it. He knows we will burn the candle from night to day and all that in order to try to get our own achievements and our own things and all that. And so he programmed it into it. He put it into the program that there be rest. It's built in. It's built in. That tells us that we need, hello? Rest. You need rest. I need rest. We need rest. We all need rest, right? And I'm saying this because, once again, we talked about this last week. We're connected beings, body, soul, spirit. They're connected, not disconnected. If I'm hungry and I'm sitting here and I haven't had food in 3 days, you're going to be trying to preach to my spirit, and my spirit's going to say, I can't hear you. It's connected. Right? Or it's not going to be as effective because it's all connected. And so, you know, so in our emotional state and all of that, all of these things are connected. And so we have to deal with each of them. Let me go because I'm going to stay. I've already spent too much time right there. Look at verse 2. Point 2. Isolation makes us believe we are the only one left. I, he said, am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me. You know, self-talk is this, I'm talking to myself. Sometimes what I'm saying is true, sometimes what I'm saying is not true. But sometimes when I'm saying what's not true, I can continue telling myself something that's not true. I believe it's true, it's not true. But the more I say it, the more I convince myself it is. I want y'all to recognize, look, right now on TV, and I don't care what political party or anything like that, I'm not bringing politics into it. I want you to see mind control, right? You put any statement out there, and all parties do it, all right? Put any statement out there, whether it's true or not, if you just keep saying it, and keep saying it, and keep saying it, and keep saying it, and keep saying it, eventually someone starts to believe it. I don't care how you can, man, look at how green those walls are. Those are some beautiful green walls. Those green walls. Anyway, all right, we're not gonna do it today, but you understand what I'm saying, right? And so even in our minds, it's the same thing. It's that constant drip of thoughts upon our our heads and all that. And it, we believe it, we hear it, we say it, we believe it, and it gets deeper and deeper into our core who we are. And so now he's really thinking, you know, look at all that we just accomplished on Mount Carmel. Right? Because you're wondering, how can you go from one extreme He was on this high for a moment on the mountaintop, and then all of a sudden he's in this deep despair in this valley, and the extremes, look at the extremes. Now all of a sudden it almost feels like, do you even trust God and believe in God at all? Right? And so once again, this is the point, and to highlight once again that all of us are susceptible to these ups and downs. This is to, really what I'm saying, this is normalize this, that even when you find yourself in despair, you are not alone. He called and he's in this place, he's saying, I'm alone. And that's what usually feels like. It feels like it's just me. I'm suffering alone. Nobody can understand what I'm going through. Nobody understands what I've seen. I remember speaking with a Christian, and they were sharing with me some mental health situation, and they shared with me something pretty severe. I'm trying to keep this as general as I can. They shared with me something very severe, something that they needed to talk to a doctor about, and I remember sharing with them a story that someone else told me. I'm trying to keep names and confidentiality, all of that together in my head as I'm talking. But here's the key. Here's the key. I connected two people in this church that had similar situations that needed to hear from one another that the other person was going through a similar situation that was a pretty severe thing, and that they could get help from a resource that would be able to help them. And that gave hope and help to the person who received it and then did it. You know, it's hard to... I'm going to put it like this. You're not alone. Whatever you're battling with, whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're being challenged with, you see, because what happens is in isolation and in secret and in thinking that you're weird and that you're the only one struggling and that you're the only one going through life and its challenges and all that, that's where the enemy has a foothold. That's where he has his power. He has his power in that silence. He has his power in them places where we won't let anybody in and I can't talk to anybody about this and all of that. And so... This the message is really a message saying you can be liberated. You can be freed from whatever you're holding on to, but you got to open your mouth. You've got to say something. You can't feel that you're the only one in this world with all these billions of people who have gone through this world and this thing called life and all that. Certainly you are not the only one that have gone through whatever you're going through. And so if that is of comfort to somebody, I know it's been comforting to some people to hear you're not the only one. And so if you're not the only one, and if God already knows what you're struggling with and what you're being challenged with, then guess what he wants you to do? He wants you to bring it to him, to take it to the Lord. He wants to come beside us, and he wants to come and share with us. And I want you to think about the story for a second, where he comes to him, and, you know, there was an earthquake that happened, and he wasn't in the earthquake. There was a great wind that happened. He wasn't there, but he came as a little whisper. And I'm sermonizing a little bit. Right now I'm outside the text. This is Domingo talking right now. Sometimes God don't come the way you think he ought to. Sometimes you're expecting, you know, kind of like in Naaman. Naaman wanted to be cleansed from his leprosy, but he had his expectation on how God would cleanse him, how God would heal him. Sometimes we want God to answer us in our situation, our dilemma, the way we want him to answer us, to meet us in our crisis the way we want him to meet us. And so we have, like Naaman, we've built up our expectations. This is, Lord, this is how you're going to do it, right? We're going to be able to read a couple books. We're going to listen to a podcast, right? I'm going to learn the 21 ways to be a good Christian and be done with it, right? And we have our expectations and our ways. And yet, God, one of the things that we see here, God doesn't meet us in our ways. He doesn't meet us in the way that sometimes that we expect him to. He doesn't sometimes greet us with all that. Maybe it's just a little whisper. Maybe it's a preacher up front at 511 Greenbank Road. Maybe it was just a little sermon. Maybe it was a little guy named Elijah and his story. Maybe it was just something small that was just the motivator, the little push that you needed to say, you know what, he's right. He's right. I gotta get closer to God. I gotta be more present with him. I've gotta let go of these things that are holding on to me. I've gotta stop this negative talk and this negative way of thinking. I've gotta move out of this season. You know, sometimes one of the strongest things to help you move out of a season is just recognizing it's time to move out of it. Somebody talk to me. I'm getting ready to throw all my stuff aside right now. We're just going to talk a little bit. Because in life, there are some times you've been in that marinating state I was talking about for so long, and then sometimes it's just something just says, you know what? It's time to get up. It's time to get up and do something different. It's time to make the change that I know I need to make and all of that. And here's the thing, because we talked about this already. Perspective is what draws us down into those depths and all that, but perspective is the same thing that's going to draw us out. How do I see it? He's calling him. What are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah has to go, well, I don't know. What am I doing here? And then he started speaking his truth, but his truth wasn't the truth. He started speaking his truth, but his truth wasn't the truth. He started saying, I'm the only one. And the Lord says, what? Anoint. I've got thousands who have not yet bowed down. You know, go get. God has sent him on missions to get people and thousands of people that he, in his mind, he didn't even know. Or he forgot. Right? Why? Because he was so focused on his situation. I'm so focused on what I'm going through right now. But God had something for him. God was trying to get him and to move him into a different place. He says, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel. God had to change the story. God had to, a stinking thinking. God had to change that stinking thinking in his mind. You know, the thinking where everything is woe is me and everything is wrong and all of that. And listen, I'm not saying there wasn't stuff wrong. Plenty was wrong. Plenty was wrong. Plenty was wrong. But God can take, even in the midst of the things that are wrong, our perspective doesn't have to be wrong. Even in the midst, all right. We see Paul in jail, you know, and even he said, I learned how to be satisfied when I have a lot. I have learned how to be satisfied when I had a little bit. Circumstances, yep. Circumstances change. Circumstances are sometimes it's good. Sometimes we're eating good, and sometimes we're not eating so good, right? But yet he comes to this conclusion: I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. In other words, Christ will give me the strength to get past those moments of weakness. Christ will fill in the voids where I'm feeling a lack. Christ fills in those gaps. He doesn't give me strength to be a superstar and be able to dunk like Michael Jordan or anything like that. No, he gives me strength to get past the challenges of life. And that's the strength that he continues to give us each and every day. Like manna, he gives us the bread we need for each and every day. You might not get the mansions and all that on this side of life, but he'll give you what you need each and every day. Maybe somebody here today, you're at that point, you're recognizing, maybe you're a little weary like Elijah was. Maybe you run from God like Elijah ran. You run into isolation, being alone. And yet God is calling you home. God is calling you to a place and a fellowship with him. And if so, then you're in the right place this morning. Right here at Green Bank Church of Christ, we believe that the church is important, that the body of Christ is important to encourage one another, as we were sharing earlier, to carry one another's burdens. When we're isolated, we will find ourselves like Elijah. But when we're together and we're strong and we're encouraging each other, even those moments when we're weak and you have someone on the sideline saying, yo, get back up. Get back in the game, Mark. Mark, get up. Domingo, get up. Let's go. Let's get back going. You're thinking strange. You're talking funny. Let's go. And that's the power that we have in the fellowship and in this, what the Lord calls his church, his body, his family. And so we encourage you, if you've been running alone and isolated and trying to do it on your own, you can't. You can't do it on your own. He calls you to relationship first with him, and then in the relationship with him, he brings you and he adds you to his church. Maybe there's someone here today, you need to hear this message. God loves you, and he loved you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross, to die, to be buried, and rise again according to the prophecies in scripture. And Jesus did just that, fulfilling scripture as Messiah. He shows he has power over victory over death. And if you and I would unite with him, then we would unite and be able to also reign with him forevermore in heaven. But you gotta get into the family first. You gotta get into the family. And in order to get into the family, you've got to be baptized into Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter was preaching the gospel. And there were some people that asked the question. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He said, this promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far off, even as many as a God our Lord shall call. And then on that same day, there were thousands that came and gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Maybe we don't have thousands this morning, but maybe there's one. We have a lifeguard. We don't have thousands, but we do have a lifeguard. Amen. And so if there's one who would like to put the Lord on in baptism, we will baptize you today. We've got clothes ready. We've got all things ready, including a lifeguard. Hello. Amen. Amen. So if you're ready to put the Lord on in baptism this morning, won't you come right now as we stand and sing?
Come from the low subway of sin, hide you in the blood of Jesus. Come from the Lord will take you